It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another Who's Number One show. I know things are looking a little different for you here. Michael Sears, he's out. He's on vacation right now. He's out there in Búzios in Brazil, looking like a lot of fun out there. Michael is having. Of course, he's coming off this big last Who's Number One, February 26th. So shout out to Michael if he's listening out there. But in the meantime, we got a huge show here at Who's Number One. We got Corey with us over here. What's up, Corey? How you doing, brother?
Man, I can't wait to talk about everything that's coming up on Who's Number One and everything we haven't talked about yet from Who's Number One this past weekend.
Absolutely. Lot to go over, of course. You guys saw it. You guys were checking out Who's Number One. Lot to talk about there. But of course, I want to give a shout out. We got in the back table making his Who's Number One podcast debut, Connor Joshin, back there, the social media guru of Flow Grappling. How's it feel, Connor, to be making your Who's Number One debut here?
Feels great. It's a cool show to join in on. We got a lot to talk about. Glad to be here. Thanks for the invite, guys.
Yep, for sure. So definitely we're going to break down the February 26th event. We're looking forward to another event here just a few weeks away now.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're going to talk about that. Make sure you guys tune in for the end of the show. We've got a special announcement. Mikey Musumeci is coming back on the Who's Number One stage. He's doing it no-gi. We got a special announcement who he's going to be fighting. Stay tuned for the end of the show for that one. You're going to want to tune in. But first, we have got to talk about February 26th, guys. We got to talk about what happened there. It was some great, great matches. Great night of jiu-jitsu. Incredible. Of course, the main event, the co-main event, all of them seemed to deliver. But, Corey, maybe I'll throw it out to you first here. What we think is maybe the most surprising outcome of the night?
It has to be what I think is my favorite matchup of the night, and definitely the most surprising result was Gabby Garcia and Nachiele de Jesus, right?
Great match.
And it was probably a lot more of an offensive approach than we expected Gabby to take, but I think all of the fans were rewarded for it. She came after Nachiele. She was throwing footlock after footlock. A couple of them looked tight. I think Nachiele said that maybe the first one popped her foot a couple times, and I think she remarked afterwards that where I come from, we eat those. You know, we don't tap to those.
And of course, Nachiele grew up training with the Cicero Costa room with guys like Paulo Miao and then Joao Miao, I'm pretty sure those guys don't have feet, even, to be honest. But yeah, that's their MO, right? The Cicero Costa guys, it seems like they never tapped that type of stuff. So Nachiele, yeah, proving that she's from Cicero.
And this was just such a back and forth match. I mean, for the first 13 minutes, you really couldn't tell who was leading the match. They both had significant looking submission attempts, but you know, right here towards the end of the match, Nachiele, I think, started to time Gabby out when Gabby was dropping down for these footlocks. And Nachiele ends up coming up on the back and really sealing the deal. Just such a big surprise. I mean, we haven't seen Gabby lose a no-gi match since 2015.
Wow. Yeah, this is obviously the end sequence right here that we're watching, where Nachiele takes Gabby's back here, and I'm pretty sure, don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure this is the first time anybody has ever gotten to this position on Gabby Garcia. Like, the first, and Gabby's competed a lot over her career, and I'm pretty sure that she has never been in this position right here that Nachielli gave her. So huge props to Nachielli. What do you think about that, Connor? Was that maybe the most surprising outcome of the night for you two?
Oh, for sure. I don't. People can say what they want on social media, but not many people were calling Nachielli taking out Gabby Garcia. But I think that's especially exciting because now we have, the 145 plus women's division is going to be separated into people that can hang with Gabby Garcia, who right now we know is Nachielli and Elizabeth Clay, and people that can't. So I think we got an exciting few storylines coming up to see. You know, the women are going to step up and prove themselves, and there's going to be an upper echelon.
Yeah, obviously huge win. Like you said, not a lot of people were expecting Nachielli to come away with that win. What do you think, Corey? Maybe, what do you think is the next step for Nachielli here?
Yeah, you know, I really hope that this kind of brings up Nachielli's stock. Mm-hmm. I know that when we released the match, you know, when we announced the match back a couple months ago, people were saying, you know, Gabby's going to smoke her, or even like Nachielli who? Mm-hmm, Nachielli mm-hmm. is a multiple time world champion.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I hope that people start to recognize that not only is she great at jiu-jitsu, but she can hang with the best of the best. And I hope that we see maybe some challenging matchups. The 145 division is a little bit cluttered, but there are definitely some notable names there. There's Liz Clay, there's Rafael Guedes. So there are plenty of matches that we can put together from Nachielli that I think would be really exciting to watch.
Yeah, I think that over 66 or over 60 kilogram division at ADCC, the women's division, suddenly got very, very exciting because, you know, Gabby's been at the top of that division for the last, 8 years, basically. So now to see, you know, Liz Clay wants that rematch, and, you know, she had a close match with Gabby, and of course now Nachi has a win over Gabby. So of course you're going to see that match again. You mentioned girls like Rafael Guedes and Karina Santi and stuff like that. So there's a lot of girls actually now in that over 60 kilogram weight class that can, I think, challenge Gabby, actually for the first time.
Yeah. And one thing that I thought about after this match, you know, we talked a lot about what Nachielli's path to victory would be or would look like. What does this do for Gabby in the future? What is it? Does it show any kind of hole in her game that people can start to attack? You know, I don't want to blow this up as maybe like the downfall of Gabby Garcia, but
sure.
Does it expose something that other people can start to attack? She is still the best ever, right? Does it give other challengers a way to consider attacking her? And maybe does it force Gabby to dial her game back or to stick to something different than those footlocks, which, you know, gave her a great chance in the beginning of the match, but ultimately, I think, gave Nachielli a way to come up.
Yeah, I was definitely surprised by her. I think a lot of people were surprised by her her strategy there, but you know, she knew the rules, submission only. She was going after those footlocks and everything like that. So shout out to Gabby. She's one of the best, man. Win or lose, nobody's better than Gabby. Love watching her compete, and she had such a great attitude about the entire thing. But huge win for Nachielli DeJesus. Can't wait to see what she does next. Connor, what do you think, man? What other matches stuck out to you from the card? Obviously, the co-main and the main, we'll get to those, but is there another match on there that maybe surprised you or was a lot of fun for you to watch?
A lot of fun to watch was obviously Gio versus Junie. I love seeing the smaller guys get super technical with it. And, you know, they're great to have around. The whole 10th Planet squad came out in kind of full force. And the action that you get from those kinds of guys, you don't see a lot of movement like that with the upper belts, or with the upper weights, excuse me. So, you know, that one was a really fun to watch. You know, you got to give shout out to Jessica Khan and Danielle Kelly. They went to absolute war. Jessica Khan is going to be someone we're watching for several years from here on out.
Yeah, she's still very young. Mm-hmm. You know, she really dominated that match with Danielle Kelly. Looked fantastic out there. So, yeah, really excited about the future for Jessica Khan as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think sometimes with, like, the AOJ squad, we can see the competitors from that camp pick their shots, right? They're super technical. They're very considerate about the game they're working on and what they're doing.
Yeah.
Jessa unloaded everything. Mm. You know, she went after arm bars. She went after, she ended up on the back. She went after foot locks and heel hooks. We got to see a lot from Jessa Khan, even in the standing exchanges. I was shocked that both of those women wrestled for as long as they did.
Yeah.
But we were rewarded for it. Danielle took some nice shots, and Jessa had a guillotine waiting for her every time.
Yeah, yeah, those were some nice. And speaking of wrestling, you even had Gio Martinez out there shooting takedowns.
Yeah.
That was sick.
And I think that takedown probably sealed the deal for him in that match, right?
Yeah,
that
might have been the difference.
There were a lot of leg exchanges and back attacks, but that was the most significant move of the match, and it paid dividends.
Yeah. No, I think Jessa, going back to Jessa versus Danielle there, I think she might have, I don't know, of course, this is conjecture, but I think she took it a little personal, maybe that some people were picking against her. You know, both of us, we did have to eat our words here, but we did pick against her on the last Who's Number One, just because I thought that Danielle's experience in the no-gi would be able to shine through. But I think Jessica kind of made a point to say, no, gi, no gi, like, doesn't matter to me. I'm one of the best in the world no matter what.
Yeah, for sure. And we have to give some credit to Danielle Kelly here. I mean, she gritted out a lot of what looked like devastating submission attempts. Her knee was sideways in one of the heel hooks out, and that armbar, I'm sure, was tight. So very gritty. She would not quit, despite the fact that Jessa really had something waiting for her at every turn.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit about Gordon versus Roberto. We got to mention that one. You know, at this point, watching Gordon do jiu-jitsu, I mentioned this earlier, like, I didn't even know that jiu-jitsu could look that good, to be honest. You know, I didn't even, I've been doing jiu-jitsu for a little while, I've been watching it for a while, and still, every time Gordon takes to the mats, it feels like it's something different, almost. It's 10 steps ahead of whatever the heck I'm doing, is what I'm trying to get at, I guess.
Yeah, whatever they're doing down in Puerto Rico, and especially,
they got something.
Yeah, they're doing something different, because the way that Gordon approaches his opponents, he literally called the shot, walked by a heel hook that he very clearly had access to, decided to take mount, and pursued his armbar. We were talking about this a little bit earlier, that when Roberto defended the first armbar, Gordon had to regain the position all over again, and we thought, okay, this might take a little bit longer than we expect. And he did it in a matter of 20 seconds. Took down, got right back to the arm.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's a little bit of the finish right here. You can see that pass to mount. This is the second time he got mount, and this is Roberto Jimenez we're talking about here, that he's doing this stuff too. You know, Roberto, one of the best in the world. He's dominated countless opponents out there. But we can just watch this armbar. This is a very, very brutal armbar. I remember when I was watching it, it made me make a face. What'd you think about this submission, Connor?
Yeah, I mean, this was great. You got to love someone that goes out there not only to, figure out, what am I going to do? How am I going to end this fight? Not win the fight, but end the fight. And Gordon goes out there and does that every time. In this case, he does it by calling his shot. He's pulling the Mystic Mac on us, and I'm here for it. I'm here for every time he does it. I hope he tries to call his shots from here on out, because that's just, a little more exciting, a little more challenging for him.
Yeah, it's sort of become his MO these days. He did it, I believe, versus Kyle Bame as well. I believe he did it versus when he fought Halleck Gracie as well. He did it when he fought Submission Underground, when he fought Joe Bays. So this has sort of become his thing now, that he's calling his shot, calling the submission he's going to end it with. Quite the way to do it, for sure. And the way he did it is just so impressive. But I do want to mention about Roberto, man, because this is a guy supposed to be fighting Nicky Ryan out there. He's massively outsized, but never heard a peep, never heard an excuse from a guy like Roberto Jimenez. Really, for my money, nobody's better than this guy. I love, whether it's against whoever it's against, Gordon, Ryan, doesn't matter. Like, the headspace that Roberto gets into when he steps out there on the mats is impressive to see. He was when he says that he's ready to go out there and kill or die, he genuinely means it. We don't have to take it that literal, but he is out there to get his body broken. If that's what it needs to happen, he's committed 100%,
right.
And I love that about Roberto.
Yeah, and he showed that exactly to us. I mean, we talked about his warrior spirit coming into this, right? And we were all lauding him just for taking the match against Gordon, against somebody who's been unbeaten in almost 40 matches. But you talk about eating an armbar, right? Yeah, I mean, the die or kill, that first armbar. I don't know, my teeth, like, I was
exactly,
turning away from
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah, the first one, he got it out, got out of it, and then kind of got put right back in that same position and still tried to gut out of it again, you know? Yeah, just crazy. Love watching Roberto compete. Hopefully we can get him back on there. Would really like to check out some more Roberto Jimenez matches. Always love watching that guy compete. But, you know, it was Gordon's night there. He looked phenomenal against Roberto. But the main event was also a big one. Craig Jones versus Ronaldo Jr. I think a lot of people had a lot of questions about this match, how this was going to go, how Ronaldo was going to approach things, what Craig's strategy going to be. And, you know, I think it played out maybe how a lot of people expected it to. But a phenomenal performance from Craig Jones. You know, he's really become so well-versed in this type of game, the type of game where Ronaldo's looking to pass on the outside. That's what it looked like it was going anyway. And so Craig has faced that so many times. He knew exactly what to do. And once he got this 50-50 entry, that's all she wrote.
Yeah, I mean, it's Craig's guard has to be such a scary place to be, right? Because you know the threat of these leg locks are always coming. And he's so well-versed. He's such a specialist in this. Not to say that it's the only thing he can do. But it was clear to me watching this that Ronaldo and the Atos camp planned for that Connie Basami style leg lock entry, because if you look at it, Ronaldo kept his hips tight, he kept that hole closed, but Craig's other legs snuck in and he entered 50-50. So, you know, you're out of the woods in one sense, and you get thrown right back in probably a more dangerous situation.
Yeah, Corey's our leg lock guy. He's always the one who's got all the positions and everything like that. So was that like a fancy leg lock entry, or was that kind of like a rudimentary one? What would you say?
I think it was more of just like a two-step attack. He expected to be able to get his outside leg inside, and because Ronaldo defended it, he got his inside leg, his back leg inside. Mm-hmm. It looked to me like Ronaldo had planned for that first attack, but the second attack wasn't as expected.
Wow. Very interesting. So, yeah, I mean, you had to know that they were going to be prepared for that type of thing, but that's just how good Craig Jones is at those submissions. So main eventer, Craig Jones, he gets it done pretty quickly. You know, obviously just a huge match. The Atos versus DDS thing was a big storyline coming into it, you know. Craig gets it done. What do you think, Connor? Maybe is the next thing for Craig here? You know, he's already kind of at the top of the upper echelon of these grapplers. Not too many options for him, but I know there's a couple people out there throwing their names in the hats. What do you think about what's next for Craig Jones here?
You know, that may be one of the most interesting storylines going in going forward. I mean, honestly, because, you know, if you're paying attention to Instagram at all, you know, Gabby Garcia is on a rampage. She has been since her post Who's Number One interviews. And her and Craig are playing around with the idea of a match. And I think Craig may be one of the few gentlemen crazy enough in jiu-jitsu to accept that match.
So you love this match, right?
You know, I'm here for the spectacle. And I think there's not really a great reason for it not to happen. I mean, unless you're worried about Craig Jones' safety. You know what I mean? You don't want to. I'm excited for it. But I think also the big question is, like, what's next for Ronaldo? You know, he's obviously trying to make his waves in the no-gi scene, which is really cool. But when, you know, he's done it, he's had to step up against Wagner Hosha. He's had to step up against Ronaldo or Craig Jones. And he was willing to step up against Gordon, obviously. I would love to see him, you know, in another scrap against someone who's maybe not a leg lock specialist. They're, you know, he's gonna getting dragged into that game is never fun. But yeah, I'm excited for the whole for everything Who's Number One has moving forward. This is big times for jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that was the one thing about the main event is that we didn't really get to see much of anything from Ronaldo, who normally is one of the most exciting grapplers in the world out there. You know, he's like, we call him the human highlight reel, right? For a reason. Didn't really get anything off. You know, that's a testament to Craig, of course. But yeah, I would love to see him up against a guy like, you know, Andrew Wiltsy and him have history, of course. But I could see him up against a guy like Cody Steele, or, you know, somebody like that. I would love to have Ronaldo back, and, you know, he can show us what he does, because he definitely has a fun jiu-jitsu game.
Right. Well, Wiltsy and Ronaldo is particularly interesting to me, because Andrew Wiltsy made a comment before the match talking about how Craig, of course, was going to beat him because, in Wilty's words, because I had beat him three times.
Yeah.
But Wilty doubled down on that after his win against PJ Barich, right, and said that if Ronaldo wants to lose a fourth time, then I'm happy to oblige him or something like that. I think Ronaldo's game has clearly developed since back in the day when they were going at it. And I'd really like to see what that match looks like now.
Yeah, absolutely. Those guys have a little bit of a history. Andrew Wiltse out there, of course, as well, picked up a really big win versus PJ Barch. That was a fun match as well. Andrew had a bunch of fun attacks. But yeah, I would love to see somebody like that, Ronaldo. Hopefully we can get Andrew Wiltse back on the card here as well. Fun night of jiu-jitsu for sure, man. I just love the direction that Who's Number One is going. You know, of course, we all were in the same boat a year ago exactly here, you know, kind of wondering what the future of jiu-jitsu was going to look like, what tournaments we were going to have, what super fight shows we were going to have. It was all up in the air, you know, of course, with the whole pandemic happened. And so just to see over the year the growth and what, you know, what we've been able to accomplish with this Who's Number One is just incredible. And like you guys said, yeah, just an incredible time to be watching some jiu-jitsu out there. So many big matches to come. We got Mikey Musumeci on this next one, bro.
Yeah,
we got Mikey Musumeci. It's crazy.
Can't wait to tell you guys who that's up against.
Yeah. So really exciting time for jiu-jitsu. Plenty of good matches out there. And March 26th can't come soon enough. Guys, I want to switch gears maybe just a little bit here. Maybe we can talk about the post Who's Number One aftermath. I don't want to spend too much time on it. It seems like, you know, everybody knows what happened. Everybody's seen the videos out there. But, you know, I do feel like myself, Corey, Connor out there, we were kind of, you know, really right in the middle of this Andre Galvao versus Gordon Ryan beef. You know, I just wanted to say kind of off the bat just how, you know, the show was over. And everything was kind of coming down, and then just the mayhem that broke out from there. Just it was, you know, these guys came around the corner and started talking to each other, and you know, it just happened so quick. It was just mayhem, and then all of a sudden they were in each other's face and stuff like that, and it was hard to know exactly what to do. I tried my best to get in the middle of these guys and you know, do what I thought was maybe the right thing to do, is try to keep this from not, you know, coming to blows right here in the JW Marriott downtown Austin. You know, it was clear that these guys had a lot of animosity towards each other and stuff like that. So I don't know if you have anything else you'd like to say about this, Corey, because it did seem like it you know, we were all right in the middle of it. It happened so quick.
Yeah, I mean, you say we were all kind of right in the middle of it. Reed, you were directly in the middle of it. But no, it's exactly, you know, I thought I was in the background kind of doing an interview, and I just heard shouting. And
yeah.
I'm kind of thinking like, all right, can we calm it down a little bit, what's going on? And I finish my interview and I turn around and I go, oh no, because it is kind of embarrassing on the sport, right? This had to happen here. You know, it did happen.
Yeah,
that we
nothing we can do. It did happen. Yeah, you're right.
But it does kind of, you know, I think what was said on the Grappling Bulletin podcast, if you guys watched that on Monday, we really do need to come up with a way to, everybody needs to cool this down. And we need to move forward. We need to find a way to move forward and kind of cool things down between these two teams. Whether that's some sort of super event where both squads bring their best, or whatever it is, we need to dial this down a little bit.
Yeah. I did want to show off maybe this. You know, I did have my camera when I was in the middle of it there. And, you know, I did have my camera on. We haven't showed this angle yet, but I did kind of want to just maybe show, just because it is from my perspective, my point of view of what it looked like kind of being in the middle of this kind of quarrel. So maybe we can run this clip here just a sec.
This guy's an idiot. Kind of need it, you know? You should respect her, you should pay respect. You know, I'm not a little boy, you know? I'm not a little
girl. What?
I just want to talk to you like a man. Just like want to talk to you like a man. You know what I mean? You know?
If you push me, I will beat the fuck out of you in front of everybody in this room.
Keep talking.
Uh-huh. Why want to do
man,
that?
So obviously, it was just high tensions right there. I think all of us were kind of wide-eyed, wondering what the heck was going on. It was a lot of reactionary stuff that was happening. You can see you had Fernando in there as well. Sears was in there. A little bit of Heath Pedigo, and you saw Shanji. This was just... it just happened so fast. It really did. It was kind of like the event was over, and all of a sudden this kicked up. None of us were really expecting it. And it is what it is at this point. All of you guys have probably seen what happened many, many times over. I'm still waiting to hear from Andre, of course. I'm really, really want to hear from Andre, make sure that he's okay and everything's okay with what he's going on, what he's going through. A crazy day for jiu-jitsu. I really think that things might not ever be the same. Connor, you were there too as well. You captured some video as well. And anything you wanted to say about this whole exchange here before we kind of move on?
Yeah, I know that there were some people that were a little bit confused because it looks like a perfect WWE promotion, and mm-hmm. I get that, but mm-hmm. I think that just means we were lucky to be backstage and just happen to have cameras rolling. I kind of thought the same thing whenever it was first popping off. You never know if guys yelling at each other backstage is going to be like super serious or if it's, but no, it was very much a real thing. I hope that it's not, a pattern moving forward. You can't have that kind of chaos happening, especially at every Who's Number One, but it definitely doesn't take away from the awesome jiu-jitsu that happened. I mean, let's not forget Gabby Garcia, she got taken out on the Who's Number One card. We had, Andrew Wiltsy make his great debut. These are awesome fighters. These are people that have put a lot of work in. And there's a little bit of a spectacle around the two biggest names in the sport going at it. But that's not what makes the Who's Number One brand the Who's Number One brand.
Yeah.
I think we are fortunate, too, to have as many very high-profile jiu-jitsu figures backstage as we did, right? As you mentioned, Heath was there, Shanji was there, Marilo Santana and Eddie Bravo were there.
Yeah.
Gabby Garcia got very involved in splitting things up. So I think the fact that we had all of those high-profile athletes and figures there did do quite a bit to maybe bring this down more quickly than it could have had they not been there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what people have to understand, too, is that, this is Who's Number One. We have, 500 cameras backstage, we've got literally everybody who works there has a camera in their hands. There's the production department who has cameras in their hands. There's cameras all over. So if you're trying to do something like a discreet fight or something like that, don't do it at Who's Number One because there's way too many cameras. We're going to capture it for sure. That's, sort of our job. So, crazy event. I certainly didn't get to sleep that night until 4 o'clock in the morning. I was just buzzing. It was a lot of adrenaline that was kicked up for sure. So who knows? Who knows what the future holds for ADCC 2022 or anything? I think there's just so much stuff that's up in the air here. But 100%. A real incident, and this was, like you guys said, something hopefully we don't have to deal with too much in the future.
Just a little comment from I believe it was Facebook. By the way, guys, if you want to join in with the show, feel free to drop a comment in the YouTube or Facebook stream. I'm the one checking those out, and if they are not mean, I'll pass them along. but someone had said, big props to you for stepping in there. Those are two very large, very well-trained gentleman. I think you showed your grit there, Reed.
Man, it all just happened so quick. I kind of don't even remember the exact moment it all happened. Luckily that I have that video, but just because it did it just popped off so quick from when they walked around the corner to when I was in the middle. It happened quick, and Gordon is normally such a calm guy, really. How I've come to know him, and I've gotten to go to Puerto Rico, I've gotten to go to some of these other places and get to know Gordon a little bit. Normally such a calm guy, and so when I turned and looked at Gordon and he just had fire bubbling up in his eyes, I knew this was a very real situation. So Crazy one, but yeah, I'm sure probably everybody would have jumped in if they were in my position there, as close as they were. So,
absolutely not.
Word. Let's move on though, because we do have a lot to talk about, and we're already going long here. But March 26th is a huge card. Who's number one? If you thought February 26th was good, we'll wait till we unveil the whole thing for March 26th. Going to be some great fights on this one as well. Can't believe it's going to be happening just like that quick. Hope you guys are enjoying these Who's Number One cards as much as we are. We are announced on Friday, Wagner versus Gordon. This is a great match, huh?
Man, I really like this matchup. You know, we say this time and time again, but very few people are willing to step up and face Gordon. I think Wagner called this shot, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wagner wanted it, yeah.
And Wagner, you know, I mean, let's get into it. I was doing some research on Wagner this afternoon.
Oh.
The last time Wagner was, or let's put it this way, Wagner had 10 matches in 2020. 8 of them were against ADCC veterans. He was swept once by Craig Jones and spent 15 seconds on his back before getting back up. So if we want to talk about whether it's his grittiness or his wrestling, but I'm most impressed by his base, right? He does not get swept if he doesn't want to be on his back. Although we've seen Gordon Ryan take Roberto Jimenez just last week, who has an incredible jiu-jitsu game, incredible guard, and just do whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. So what are we going to see? Right? Mm-hmm. I'm always curious to see what Gordon is going to do against the highest caliber of people, because it's not what very many other people can do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, these two guys have some history together. They have fought before. And I know that Gordon wants to fight this one back. You know, Wagner, like you said, he requested this matchup. Not too many people out there requesting matches with Gordon Ryan. So love that we could make this one happen. Love a guy like Wagner Hosha. I believe he's 37, 38 years old and still out there trying to take on the number one pound-for-pound best grapplers in the world. You know, this is what Wagner is all about. He wants that number one spot. He's number one ranked 185 pound grappler, but that is not sufficient enough for Wagner Hosha. He wants that number one pound for pound spot, and he can get it. He can get it. All he has to do is go through a guy like Gordon Ryan. You know, this is a crazy one. Connor, you want to add anything to this one here? The OG-ness of Wagner Hosha coming to town to take on the king.
You gotta love it. I mean, Wagner's down for any fight, anywhere, anytime. I love someone who can get physical. And I think, you know, Gordon said this one's not personal, and then he went on to explain how, you know, yeah, Wagner liked to slap his crown off his head and, you know, all these other things when Gordon was a little bit younger. So regardless of what, you know, Gordon Ryan may say, it seems like he's coming into this one with a little bit of preparedness. He's excited to get a little bit of payback. That's always going to be fun to see.
Yep, and of course we know about the physicality, aggressiveness that that Wagner brings to the table whenever he competes. That'll definitely be something that Gordon has to deal with, that kind of aggressive nature of Wagner Hosha, you know, the python choke and all those things. Have you ever had anybody do that choke to you?
No, I think that is an escalation. You know, we get python choked, and there's gonna be a different level of jiu-jitsu coming up.
Yeah for sure. You know, I really looking forward to that one. We got a bunch of other matches on the card. Yuri Samoyes versus Nicky Rod. Maybe we can save that one for next podcast. We can break that one down as we're running a little short on time here. But because I want to get to the announcement, I want to get to the big announcement here. Mikey Musumeci has not fought no-gi jiu-jitsu in a no-gi jiu-jitsu match since 2016, when he became an IBJJF no-gi world champion. I remember that. I was there for that match, or for those matches there he had in no-gi worlds. I believe that was at the Cow Palace, if you guys were there, out in San Francisco, I believe is where it was. So he hasn't fought no-gi in a long time. Obviously, everybody's very familiar with his gi game and the things that he's able to do over the last few years here in the IBJJF circuit. You know, multiple-time world champion, his match with Bruno Malfacini, his fastest ever submission in an IBJJF final last year, 2 years ago, was nothing short of just historic, incredible. So to have an athlete the caliber of Mikey Musumeci coming on to the Who's Number One stage and taking off the gi putting on the Show Your Role rash guard as he was. I'm so, so excited about this one. What do you think about this one, Corey?
Yeah, exactly as you said. He hasn't competed in Nogi in 4 years. I'm curious about this match for so many reasons, right? You take away what are some of Mikey's best weapons in his, like, his collar sleeve guard and his lasso guard. All of the attacks we've seen from him typically come from Barambolo setups and from like really intricate gi style setups. So will he be able to get to the back? Will he be looking for the back? How do the leg locks play into this? There are so many question marks on this, and they all revolve around how has he prepared for Nogi, and is he evolving with the Nogi game? Because it's a completely different animal, especially the way he plays jiu-jitsu.
What do you think, Connor? Is he going to come in ready?
Man, I hope so. He better. I think having a name like Mikey Musumeci pop up on a Who's Number One card, especially, you know, you're shedding the gi for the first time since 2016. Every Nogi player around his weight should be salivating right now. There has to be a target on his back. You know, you can suck him into a game that he's not as familiar with, especially for, you know, you talk about the heel hook game. You start getting into a lot of the finer points of Nogi. You know, this is a chance for someone to put their name on the map.
There you go.
And if, you know, that's what I hope people see Who's Number One as. You know, we'll put a name out there and let's see if you can snipe him. So I'm more than excited, man.
Well, and you know what, guys? This Mikey was invited to do ADCC in 2019. He ended up pulling out. But I'm really curious what this holds for the future of maybe the 66-kilogram division. You know, Mikey's on the lighter side of that division, but he'll definitely fit in there. Is that something he's eyeing up for 2022?
Yeah, yeah. We haven't seen him there at ADCC ever, so that would be a fun addition to ADCC too, Mikey Musumeci. And, you know, this could lead to that, right? He has a good showing here, and I'm sure he'll get invited back again. But let's do it here. March 26th, Mikey Musumeci going to be making his Who's Number One debut. Corey, maybe you can let us know, who is Mikey Musumeci's opponent going to be?
Yeah, we've got Mikey Musumeci versus Marcelo Cohen. So he's a 2016 Nogi Pan champion.
There you go.
He had a couple of matches in 2020. So Marcelo is no joke Nogi. You know, this is going to be a fun matchup.
Of course, the Brazilian, you know, this is a big step up in competition for him as well. We've seen him recently on some fight to wins and everything like that. But just like Connor said, a huge, huge opportunity for a guy like Marcelo Cohen to put his name on the map and take out a guy like Mikey Musumeci. Really excited to see what Mikey's game looks like in this Nogi setting. I mean, he's got that ankle lock that can probably just like break redwood trees. It's just like looks so lethal. So you have to imagine that he's going to take those ankle locks with him. But I'm so curious, is he going to play top? Is he going to play, you know, is he going to go to his guard? Like what is Mikey's Nogi A game? I want to know.
Yeah, I think the whole world wants to know, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how does he play open guard? How does he suck somebody into his guard? You know, is he willing to play top? What does that ankle lock look like? You know, what's his? There's so many questions going into what Mikey's Nogi game looks like, especially against somebody as tough as Marcelo.
And Marcelo out of Florida, right?
Jupiter, Florida, I believe.
Jupiter, Florida, down there. So Mikey, of course, he was he was born in Jersey, but I believe he was raised and started jiu-jitsu in Florida. So a little bit of a Florida thing going on this Who's Number One card as well. What's your reaction here, Connor, when you see Marcelo Cohen versus Mikey Musumeci?
I love jiu-jitsu, so I gotta, you know,
you love jiu-jitsu?
Everyone loves jiu-jitsu. Everyone loves Mikey Musumeci. You know, you should be excited to watch Nogi Mikey Musumeci. We haven't obviously seen it since 2016, but, you know, like I said, I want to see someone get sniped. I want to see Who's Number One being putting your name on the map. I think the best thing Marcelo can do here is realize this is an awesome opportunity, an awesome stage, and start throwing some wild stuff. You know, we got the 2016 Nogi Pan Champ versus the 2016 Nogi World Champ. Obviously, their games have evolved since then. Mikey more towards the gi, and Marcelo has been specializing, it looks like, in Nogi. So, you know, maybe that's going to be a big factor.
Yeah, this is something that we talked about in the past, you know, especially the Jessa and Danielle match, is Jessa kind of more of a gi player, and Danielle knowing those intricacies of the heel hook game and of the leg lock game and stuff like that. So can those leg locks bridge that gap of the gi jiu-jitsu or just the technical, how good technically Mikey is in the gi or without the gi, doesn't matter. He's one of the most technical jiu-jitsu minds out there. So really excited about that one. Any comments here, Connor, that you want to throw out maybe before we wrap this thing up here? Anybody got any burning questions?
I think a lot of people were just excited about the Mikey Musumeci reveal. We don't got anything crazy going on, but I know I want everyone to stay posted on the Flow Grappling Instagram. We got more match announcements coming up. Our first women's card will be, or our first women's fight on the card will be announced tomorrow. Yeah, we got a lot of cool stuff. Let us know what everyone thinks of the matchup in the comments, because we'd love to see that.
Absolutely. Tune in, stay glued to the Flow Grappling Instagram page, flowgrappling.com. We got a lot more announcements to come. Some big pieces of content coming up your way. Definitely don't want to miss this stuff. Big March, big April, big year for Flow Grappling. It's going to be. So stay tuned for that. Corey, anything else you want to say here, bro?
No, just speaking of big content, we dropped the Puerto Rico trailer from you and Michael, your trip down there.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like, you lived it, but from seeing the trailer, it looks like everything I want in a jiu-jitsu documentary. From the lifestyle to maybe some stuff from the gym, and just exploring with Gordon and Craig and Oliver Taza and Ethan and the guys. It looks like a ton of fun.
Yeah, we tried to give you guys a little tease there. So much more to come on that documentary. You've seen the trailer though, probably, so maybe we'll skip that. And if you haven't seen it, go check it out on YouTube. It's up there right now. A lot more to come. We shot so much great footage in Puerto Rico, and it's all being edited right now. And we're going to put it together into a movie. You guys are going to see it soon. It's going to be awesome. Thank you for tuning in. Connor back there. Corey right here. Reed, I really appreciate everybody tuning in. Who's number one? Make sure you guys tune in March 26th. It's going to be a doozy. Gordon Ryan versus Wagner Hosha. We'll see y'all later.